The truth of any matter can be a continual search. How do you determine it? What is the barometer you use to establish verity in your life? There are so many outlets vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. It is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Relying upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity Podcast as my co-host and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. Welcome, TSV family, to the 24th episode of your favorite podcast, the Spoken Verity Podcast, where we speak the truth, which is the Word of God, in love. My name is Remy Eko, and I have the honor of leading our time together today as the primary host for this episode. I am grateful, as always, to have my brothers with me, Otto Medina Jr. and Wiley Harris III. Hello, my brothers.
Hello.
What's going on, Chief? Let's get to do it. Ready to go.
Good. I thank God for another opportunity for us to come together and share with our listeners what He is giving to us. Speaking of thanks, let's open this episode in prayer. Spirit of the living God, we just thank you. Thank you for trusting us with this venture. Thank you for keeping us from all the way from episode zero to this 24th episode. We thank you for just how you have ministered through us, how you have flowed through us. We thank you for the work that you are doing in the body of Christ with this venture, with the Spoken Verity. It is something that we have brought back to you and placed it in your hands that you would breathe upon it, that you would use it to the glory of God and for the good of others. As we close this season with the topic you've given us today, we invite you once again, take control of our faculties, our vocal cords, come speak through us. And let your word just bring revelation to those that need it. Use us however you want it to. We lift up the body of Christ. We lift up our listeners. Speak through us now, Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Before getting into our discourse for today, I would like to ask my brother Otto, to give us a recap of episode 23. For our listeners who may have missed that episode. Wakanda?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Our episode 23 conversation was concerning heaven, hell, and where is our destination. We spoke of an eternal destination we all have when we finish our race. Will the Lord say to us, depart from me? Or will the Lord say, well done? We answered, what does the Bible say about heaven? We talked about three types of heaven, the atmospheric, the celestial, and the place where God resides. We also established that heaven is a place of our citizenship as we die as Christians. We also dove into hell and the reality of this place. And lastly, we also talked about, well, what happens when we die? And we shared about inevitably, we're going to end up in one place or another. Are we prepared? So we encourage you to listen if you want to understand a little bit more about these different places, but most importantly, where is our destination? And our hope is that you'll make the eternal decision to live for Jesus and position yourself to hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
Thank you, brother. That was a very impactful episode. And just like the Holy Spirit, it seems like it's a change of baton moving from 23 to 24 with regards to what we are about to discuss. In John chapter 14, verse 3, here are the words of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. TSV family, we got wonderful news for you. Jesus Christ is coming back. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. As we close out season one of your favorite podcast with this 24th episode, we will be examining the return of Jesus Christ. Now, in true transparency, brothers, when I got this subject matter from Holy Spirit, I was like, really? That's what you want? You're sure you don't want us to discuss anything else like the right way to give, the fruit of the Spirit, a Christ-centered marriage part two, you know? By the way, listeners, all those are upcoming episodes, so make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss out. But yeah, I was trying to convince our all-knowing God, and the Holy Spirit's response was clear. Close out the season with the return of Jesus Christ. So TSV family, here we are. As I just read in John chapter 14, verse 3, the words of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ weren't ambiguous. I will come again, period. In examining the return of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the first segment of our discourse today will, with Holy Spirit's guidance, aim to bring clarity to an event that a lot of believers in Jesus Christ have differing interpretations and views on, which is the rapture. Will this event occur separately from the return of Jesus Christ, or will both events happen simultaneously? Then our middle segment will be focused on what should we, believers in Jesus Christ, be doing in preparation for his return. Because Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, does instruct us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, with these words, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Finally, to wrap up our time together today, my beloved brothers and I will share about our readiness for the return of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now let's dig in. We, the host of your favorite podcast, unequivocally believe Jesus Christ will return victoriously to earth one day in bodily and visible form.
Amen.
Amen. This verity can be found in Acts chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.' He ascended in a visible bodily form. He will return from heaven in like manner in a visible body form." This is what the Bible says, and we believe it to be true. Like all biblical prophecies, a lot of the specifics about the return of Jesus Christ is shrouded in mystery. However, these mysteries that may cloud our full understanding of the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not an excuse for ignorance, skepticism, or apathy. Neither should it lead to contentious debates or quarrels within the body of Christ, his church. One such area of contention, as I shared earlier, is the rapture and its place within the events surrounding the return of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I shared earlier about my questions regarding this topic, and most specifically, this question we're about to discuss in this segment due to its contentious nature. But Holy Spirit reminded me of the need for us as believers in Jesus Christ to discern the times, to be watchful and ready as instructed in scriptures. Although this topic has been and might remain a fertile ground for disagreements, I am reminded that all scripture, not just the "we are all in agreement" part, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness.
Yes.
That the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And we, the hosts of your favorite podcast, are, by his grace, faithful students of the Bible, studying to show ourselves approved unto God. Now, to kick off the convo for this segment, I will ask my brother, the Reverend Brother Wally, get on the mic and help illuminate this. Does the rapture occur separately from the return of Jesus Christ, or will both events happen simultaneously?
Thank you, brother. As you rightly stated in your opening, this question is a question that has caused a lot of strife and rancor within the body of Christ, which doesn't make a lot of sense considering it is for believers, the event that we're looking for, right? What we've been waiting for to occur. And as opposed to us being in an argument or strife concerning the exact surrounding events, we should be joyously and earnestly awaiting the return of our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And we do that in unity anyway. And so these are the kind of things that just don't make a lot of sense in terms of how we see this question and then the discussions around this question being formed. But however, for our audience, we're going to give them some context as Holy Spirit has led us. And in this first part of your question, I'm going to focus on the doctrine, the understanding of what it says in Revelation concerning the rapture. So your question asks two parts of one event. So I'm answering your question in my very, in this opening here. It's a two-part scenario of one event. Then these parts are often confused.
Yep.
So let's define both, and then we're going to allow our audience to decide the obvious answer to your question, brother. Let's start with the rapture. The most familiar set of scriptures concerning the rapture is in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. I will read those in a moment. Not so familiar to believers, but which you also read in your opening, is John 14, 1 through 3. And this is when Jesus first revealed the rapture and the preparation for it to his disciples. So I'm not going to read that third verse again, but I'm going to read those first two verses to kind of give it a little bit more context. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Well, let me go ahead and loop in three. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Notice the preparing of our eternal habitation and the promise of his return for those that believe. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18 from the NIV. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him.
Mm-hmm.
So God is bringing Jesus when he comes.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Mm-hmm. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. You talked about in the beginning about the strife piece. Like, why is that even occurring? This is a very direct command here. Encourage one another. Don't concern yourself with how it's actually going to happen. It's very clear here. So follow that and encourage. Don't tear down. Don't compare philosophies, pre-tribulation, post-tribulation. We'll talk about that in a minute. Like, none of that. Encourage one another with these words. So we see here that the dead in Christ and those that are living will be caught up in the air and received unto our Lord and Savior forever. Remember, TSV audience, the rapture is also a display of God's grace and mercy for his bride, the church, to escape the wrath to come, which is the tribulation. Now, brother, you didn't talk about that. That event comes in between the rapture and the second coming. I'm going to talk about that a little bit just because you want to understand the timeline and the sequence of events.
Yep.
The sequence of events is the rapture, tribulation, and you can read about that in Revelations chapter 6 through 19. Like those whole, all those chapters talks about tribulation.
Yep.
And then the second coming, which was your last part of the question that I will detail here in a moment. So let's quickly look at the tribulation. Two passages in 1 Thessalonians and then one scripture in Romans. And I really believe it's important for us to give context, especially into this last episode of the season, so that our audience will have some meat to kind of chew on before we come back and kick off our second season. There are so many scriptures that talk about our deliverance as believers in Jesus Christ from the wrath to come, which is tribulation. But I want to highlight these. The first one's in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
Come on.
Then another one in 1 Thessalonians 5:9 through 10, for God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.
Amen.
And then in Romans 5:9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, Holy Spirit, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So we see from these three passages of scripture and others found in God's word that belief in Jesus Christ will allow us to escape the wrath to come, which is the tribulation. Amen. Our God with Jesus has already laid out the escape by catching us up together to meet the Lord in the air, as we read earlier in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. That is the rapture, brother. Now for the second coming. This is after the tribulation. It's important to note that the tribulation is for those who don't believe. The church isn't here on the earth at this time. God is also preparing Israel during this time through judgment for her Messiah. But we're not going to be discussing that today. I'm not going to dig into that. It's a lot. That's another show.
That's a different topic. Yeah,
it's another show. But I wanted to make sure that I was highlighted so that you understood the transition from rapture, tribulation, second coming. So now back to the second coming. The second coming is tremendously lucid in scripture. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this as I did on the rapture. This event after the tribulation is where our Lord and Savior returns to the earth with the raptured saints from heaven and sets up his kingdom. Here are two sets of scriptures for this. I'm going to go to Zechariah 14, 4 through 5. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. For the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And then in Matthew 24, 27 through 31. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, here it is in scripture, very clear, everyone. Here it is in scripture, very clear. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man of heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory.
Come on, come on.
And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So to wind up my answer here, let's be clear, TSV audience. Christ's second coming is one event which occurs in two parts. Christ coming in the air to rapture the church, his bride, and only his own see him during this first part. This event can happen at any moment. It could happen right now while we are recording our show.
Yes, sir.
And it is also a precursor to the tribulation. Christ coming to the earth with his raptured saints to conquer, to judge, and to set up his kingdom is the second part of that event in terms of the second coming. All will see Jesus' return to the earth at this time. This part of the one event occurs after the tribulation.
Holy Spirit, thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Wally. Thank you for clearly seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance. Yeah, everything I have to say is literally lined up with what you said. And that's why I just feel goosebumps throughout when you were talking. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. It's marvelous. I'm just going to switch over now to my Wakanda brother. Brother Otto, please get on the mic and share with our listeners what the Holy Spirit has given to you regarding this focus of our first segment. Does the rapture occur separately from the return of Jesus Christ, or will both events happen simultaneously?
I'll do a Wakanda and say the short version is, no, it's not simultaneously. But I will say this, though. I think Wiley did an excellent job of breaking it all down for us.
Come on.
And it's so important for us to understand this, because people start getting caught up in, you know, just getting confused by it and afraid of it. And just, I don't know, I'm not really sure, other than to say the most important thing is that when the rapture happens, I'll see y'all later. You know, but I have a funny story. When I was studying Revelations, like you recommended, Wiley, I was in a busy environment where there's always somebody coming around. There's always noise. It was in an area where this one guy kind of was overseeing. His name was John Doe. Let's just say John Doe. We won't say his name. And everybody knew John Doe was not a Christian. He hated Christians. And so I'm working, you know, doing some sweeping and mopping. And all of a sudden, you know, now remember, I've just been reading Revelations and about the rapture and all that. Mm-hmm. And there's no noise. I mean, it is so quiet. You could hear a pin drop. I mean, you don't hear nothing. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, here comes John Doe. And I said, oh, Lord, I done missed the rapture. You know what I mean?
No.
I said, I'm stuck here. How did that happen?
Oh my goodness.
You'll never know how glad I was to see other brothers in Christ coming around. I said, oh man, thank God. You know?
Oh man.
But it could do that to you. You know, you get kind of not fear in a bad way, but you just kind of, man, I know I better make sure I get this right, you know? Mm. And that's the important thing about it. I don't want to be repetitious and say anything other than please pay attention to what Brother Wiley said, because yes, he did break it down very eloquently, very, very, very clearly for us. Yes. And as always, pointing out where scripture is actually helping us understand it. You just got to read it.
Yeah.
And I'll have more on the other questions that you have, I'm sure. But I do want to say that it's just so important for us to be in a right relationship with the Lord, because he is coming back for us.
Yes.
And that's what we need to really focus on is, are we ready? That's the million-dollar question right now. And so I really hope that our TSV listeners will take that to heart and really just examine yourself to one day fellowship with us when we go home to heaven. You know, but that would be my response, Brother Remy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And yes, you are right. Our brother, the Reverend, laid it out. Like, literally, I could just say, let's go to the next question. That's why I was so quiet because the Holy Spirit, again, just flowing through us. My brother just literally, every scripture I was given, like all of it, right? I will just add this little bit. And we encourage you, listeners, as the brother Otto just said, to study the scripture for yourself.
Yes.
More importantly than anything else. The whole premise for TSV is not for you to come, listen to it, and be like, oh, that's good. Take that up. Look at it. We have various ways you can get through us on social media platforms, on our website, and share your own revelation that was given to you. Like this, all of this is done to edify the church, right? So we encourage you, spend time with the Holy Spirit, spend time in the Word.
Yes.
Amen. If we just oppose Revelations chapters 19 and 20, actually starting from maybe the 11th verse and then all of chapter 20, against 1 Thessalonians and all the scriptures my brother has read, we will see that the scripture, the Bible, points to the fact that the rapture is a separate event and it happens before the tribulation. You know, when looking at Revelations, especially, as I said, from 19, starting from the 11th verse all the way to 20, I won't read all of it, but you see the order is the descent of Christ, then he defeats the beast and its armies. The beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. Then that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, is then bound and thrown into the pit. Then there's the resurrection of saints. When you now look at that against the scripture my brother has read, which I won't touch on, go ahead and read it for yourself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, we see that the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. So clearly, when we place this together, we see that there are two different events. The rapture, as my brother has eloquently stated, is the first stage of his return. If we're looking at it holistically, you know, looking at one event and looking at two parts of it. And I want to thank my brother for bringing in the tribulation piece to it, which gives context to what we are truly talking about. No need for us to continue to belabor the point. I literally have nothing else to add to how Brother Wiley eloquently answered that question. There's something Brother Otto touched on when he was answering, which is the focus of our second segment. If you're just joining us, we are talking about the return, the imminent return of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Yes. Brother Otto touched on this, and I'm going to go to him first in answering this question. Now we've established that his return is imminent, but that is not a license for the church, for us believers in Jesus Christ, to just sit idly and wait for his return, right? Or for us to become timekeepers. You know, his return shouldn't motivate us to put all our focus or attention on the political developments of this world, nor should it get us hysterical about current events and news headlines. Rather, it should cause us to direct our hearts towards him to be about kingdom work. So I'm going to come to Brother Otto, and I'm going to ask this question. What should we, believers in Jesus Christ, be doing in preparation for his imminent return?
What should we be doing? I'll start out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Why? Because when the Apostle Paul wrote that epistle, he broached the subject for us about the rapture in chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came behind it in chapter 5 so that we wouldn't be like some of us are doing now, getting caught up. Oh, it's about to happen here. It's going to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to pinpoint certain. No, he in chapter 5 says, but we ask you, brothers and sisters, to recognize those who diligently labor among you and are in leadership over you in the Lord and give you instruction.
Come on.
And that you regard them very highly in love because of their work.
Mm.
Now we're going to get into some substance here. Live in peace with one another. Oh, my goodness. Live in peace with one another.
Come on.
Yes.
We urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone.
Mm.
see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek what is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Do not quench the spirit.
Come on now.
Do not utterly reject prophecies, but examine everything.
Come on.
Hold firmly to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil.
Yes.
That's a good start right there. But then I also want to come, it's not a coincidence that, and he did almost the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when he's talking about the resurrection.
Yeah.
And I love how he ended it in verse 58, chapter 15, verse 58. He said this, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be firm, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm just saying.
Yes. Come on. Yes. Come on. I love that scripture.
I'm just saying. That's one of my favorite scriptures right there.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because sometimes, let's just be real, sometimes it can be discouraging.
Yeah.
It can be. And that's why the Apostle Paul was so, you know, led by the Spirit to understand the things that we're going to be challenged and faced with on a daily basis. Don't get caught up in a momentary. Always have the eternal perspective in mind. And that'll help you as you walk your journey and walk out your and work out your salvation. And then lastly, I just want to say that sometimes it's not about doing, it's about being. Being in Christ Jesus. Remember, it's in Acts, it says we live, we move, and have our being. So sometimes being is more important than doing, and that's the problem. We get caught up with so much doing that we start missing this stuff. We're missing out on the relationship with God as opposed to all the religious things that we could be doing. I've said it before in other, you can be baptized so you look like a prune. You can have your name on every church roster. You can do all kinds of religious stuff and but if it's not without love, as 1 Corinthians 13 says, it means nothing. If you're not doing it out of the Holy Spirit leading and prompting you, then, you know, you're just spinning your wheels.
That's right.
At the end of the day, to answer your question, what should we be doing in preparation for his return? I would say we just want to change the demographics of hell. You understand what I'm saying?
Come on.
That's how I like to say it. Let's change the demographics of hell. We can do that by a lot of these practical things that the Apostle Paul has pointed out for us in Thessalonians 5 and 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Brother Otto.
Amen.
Change the demographics of hell. Come on now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard anybody say it like that. Yeah. The Reverend, come in here and add to this conversation, please, and help our listeners understand what should we believers in Jesus Christ be doing in preparation for his return?
Well, coming behind Brother Arthur is one of those joys, because he keeps things in his context in terms of this, the level of simplicity and the clarity that those that are hearing it, there's no ambiguity. Like, it's really clear. We're going straight to scripture. And so one thing that he brought out before I answer your question was talking about the encouragement piece. And we read that in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Like, why are we arguing about this? Why are we not encouraging those? Why are we not focusing on the work to make sure that when our Lord and Savior comes, there's more in the harvest? We're so concerned about the timing of these things that we're forgetting about our brother that's over here that needs Jesus, the one that doesn't have Jesus Christ. And so Let's shift our focus off of the doctrine of this and the theological misinterpretations, or however you want to coin the phrase, mm-hmm. and focus on the fact that we should be out here being used by Holy Spirit to win mm-hmm. souls. So when the rapture comes, we can change the demographics of hell, to use my brother's term. And so we've got to focus on that. Let's get past these doctrinal shifts.
Yeah.
Which can cause division, which can now separate the body of Christ and focus on soul winning. And this is one of the reasons why I believe Holy Spirit led you for us to close out our season with this, because he that winneth souls is wise. I've said this for probably 2/3 of the episodes in this season, but this is very important. This is why, one of the major reasons why we have this podcast, to win souls for the kingdom of God, to change the demographics, if you will. It's very important that we understand that. And this conversation today is allowing that shift to occur. So as I mentioned in my opening answer to your question, it is imperative for a believer in Jesus Christ to realize and understand that we do not know when our Lord and Savior is returning for us. We don't know. So let me add this quickly. If you got anybody out here talking about they know when Jesus is coming back, turn away and run. Yes. Get away from them, because they are not from God.
Come on.
Scripture is very clear here. No one knows.
Yes.
Now, we do have clues throughout Scripture that signify that we are in the last days and thus closer daily to his return for us. But again, no man knows the day or the hour of Jesus's return. Scripture for this, for those that don't necessarily understand or believe what I just said, Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. Again, do you believe what the word of God says? I know we keep going back to this, and it's unfortunate that we have to continue to press these scenarios and these words in Scripture, but unfortunately as well, people take these words out of context. It is very clear. You do not have to add or take away from. That is prohibited anyway. So just read what it says. Read that and then apply it into your life.
Come on.
But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Period. No one else. Only. That's how that verse ended.
Yep.
Let's not let anyone deceive you in this area.
Come on.
There are several passages of Scripture concerning our being prepared for Christ's return. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, for the uninitiated listening. 2 Peter and 1 Thessalonians. They all have the same common directive. Be alert. Be ready.
Yes.
Keep watch.
Yes.
How do you do this? Keeping the word before your eyes and in your ears, which will cause your actions to reflect our Lord and Savior in the earth. Do what is required of you in Micah 6:8. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God.
Come on.
Lastly, let's look at Luke 21:36 in the King James. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. As a part of our preparation for our Lord and Savior's return, it is for us to know that our salvation is by grace through faith and not of ourselves. We can't save ourselves. Just like we can't change our gender. Just like we can't change sexuality. Just like we can't change skin color. We can't do that. Now, you may make the attempt, but you have not changed the very core and essence of who you are. You did not create yourself.
Come on.
You can't save yourself. It is by grace through faith that we are saved, not of ourselves. Scripture says, lest any man should boast. We must not mind earthly, sensual things above the things of God, his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, according to his written word. We must watch against and for sin attempting to enter into our lives. Be watchful, TSV audience.
Yes.
Be vigilant.
Yes.
In all we do in the name of Jesus Christ. This is very important as well.
Yes.
You're out here watching and being vigilant and speaking in the name of Jesus Christ, but you still hate your brother. Like,
come on.
That's not scripture. You are not operating as an ambassador of Jesus Christ in the earth, hating your brother. Pray always in this life as a prerequisite to being able to praise in eternity. Obeying God's precepts in his written word and following the example lived out on earth by his son also prepares us for his return. My dear brother Echo.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. If you're just joining us here in the middle of our conversation, this is the second segment of our episode today, looking at the return of Jesus Christ. And in this segment, we are discussing what should we, believers in Jesus Christ, should be doing in preparation for his return. Both my brothers have, as usual, as always, shared insightful and impactful nuggets of wisdom for our listeners. We find ourselves, and I say we, I'm using that to collectively talk about the church, the body of Christ. We find ourselves in this place, especially with the current times that we live in, where we are using current events as a guideline for interpreting scripture. The church is focused on timeline rather than the work that is supposed to be done. As my brothers have shared, it is not about, we should look for the signs. The Bible says we should watch, but that shouldn't be our full focus. Sure. That shouldn't be what we do 24/7. There should be work being done in the vineyard, kingdom work that should be done. As my brother has always said, and he just said it again, he who wins souls is wise. The Great Commission, go into the world and preach all the gospel. That's it.
Amen.
That's what Christ shared. That should be, okay, I wake up. Oh, he's not here yet? All right, I'm going. I'm preaching the gospel. It shouldn't be, oh, well, this person is now in power. You know, that means that so and so will now happen. That's not it.
Pass.
That's not the focus. Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords.
Yes,
he's above every president. He's above every king.
Come on, bro.
All of them will bow. I don't care what title you hold right now. When he comes, you will be on your knees. No questions.
Amen.
That is our focus. I look at it this way, brother. If I go to a restaurant, or my brother Wally, we've been blessed with beards. My brother Otto didn't get that from the Lord, so he will talk to him when he returns. But we've been blessed with facial hair. And my brother shared with me, like, hey, look at this product, man. I like it. It helps me. It might help you. I use that in the context of when you find something you like, oh, this favorite food, man, that restaurant is great. Oh, man, you should try these guys, man. They are great with doing whatever. That should be our approach as well as Christians, telling the world, Jesus, this is it. Come to Jesus. This is where I found bread. This is where I found healing. I'm telling you, this is where it is. It should be our focus. We should be ambassadors. We should be propagating the gospel, which is what Christ asks us to do.
Yes.
That's it. You know, my brothers have already shared about make sure that your love walk is right. That we cannot even step away from that. Because God is love. The entire gospel is based on love.
Yes.
That is what, if we look at the cross, it was love. If we look at John 3:16 that everybody keeps sharing easily, for God so loved the world. And it is out of that love we should be preaching the gospel, telling people we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. It is that should be our focus as we wait his return. It is not to look at it and say, oh, you know, he's going to be here at this time. Oh, you know, sometimes I turn on the TV and you see people talking about, well, the 20-year prophecy and the 20. I'm like, what is all this? Just tell people about the love of God. Just tell people that, you know what? This is where I found bread. This is where I found healing. Come, there is enough for you. Rather than us looking at this in this elitist outview, like, well, you know, I'm saved, so I'm going to heaven. Really? No. So you're going to leave your brother?
Hmm.
God wants all to be saved.
Come on.
All of us. That's why he keeps on waiting. The scriptures we are reading and talking about, these are like 2,000 years ago.
Easy.
Yeah. So he could have come a long time ago and we wouldn't have been here. But he keeps on tarrying because it is not his desire for any to be lost. Mm. And where does that come now in this context? It is for us to now be the hands and feet of Jesus. Mm. To now step out into the world, to let people know of his grace and mercy, to share his love. And I'm so grateful to God to allowing us to do that through the Spoken Verity podcast. Anything y'all want to add, brothers?
Yeah, briefly, I do want to add that when you are talking again about the unity within the body of Christ, we still continue to focus on these doctrinal differences.
Yeah.
And I know I've laid out in future episodes going into season two, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Well, why are we allowing these things to occur? What is the focus? Our focus, as you've rightly stated, should be and must be on soul winning and continuing in that space. It is so important because, yeah, you're saved. Yeah, you have things that are going on that the Lord is using you with. Well, what about your brother? What about the one that you passed by on the street and the Lord said to do something for and you said you were too busy? Like, this is not the love of God. And we must continue to understand that in these last days, this is our focus.
Yes.
The return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that we are continuing to labor in the harvest for those that need Jesus.
Yes.
And that has to continue to be reiterated. Yes. And I know we'll do that here in the final segment.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. But also anything?
I did want to add how Brother Wiley brought up about false prophets.
Mm.
I think that's just another example of God's grace, because in the Old Testament, if any prophet dares to speak a message in my name that I have not commanded him to speak or to speak in the name of other gods, that prophet must be put to death.
To death.
In other words, there was a rock party.
Come on.
Okay. So I find that people who try to do this, because I've seen and heard people try to act in this capacity, there's three basic things that they're wanting. And I'm saying this because our job is to help people understand and recognize different things.
Mm.
You know, they either want money, power, or recognition. Those three things, those three basic things, that's all it is for these false prophets.
Mm.
So just keep that in mind. That's all I really wanted to add. I just really appreciate your insight as well, Remy, what you brought to the table today so far.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. It's interesting that the three things you brought up, money, power, and recognition, none of it is about Christ, you know? And that's Brother Wiley shared about that, right? We get caught up in these earthly things, right? Because we take our eyes off the fact that we are in transition. This is not home. You know, we should be like how the Israelites were living in the wilderness, like just have a little tent, get ready. Because instead of looking at the rapture as this, you know, it's going to come. We should look at it like, okay, how ready am I? Mm. How ready am I for him, for his return? Mm. Not in the context of, when is it happening? Who is being taken? Okay, now I have been saved and I know I have to get ready. How ready am I? Which leads me into our final segment together today. In this last segment, as always, we try to bring in practical steps or practical instructions, if you will. We bring in practical steps that we, the host of your favorite podcast, the Spoken Verity podcast, that we do as we continue this walk in Christ, because nothing we do here and nothing we've done over this last 23 episodes has been done from any kind of platform that we are complete, we are whole, and we are both. No. We are still working out this journey. We are still in the process. And in this last segment, as we wrap up our time today, I'll ask my brothers to share in answering this question. If Christ returned today, would you be ready, Brother Wiley?
So let me add to this question a little something here. that I have used in my raising and preparing my now adult children for living in this natural realm. This short, simple question proves you know the answer to the question being asked of you. So this is just for any question, right? Not just this one in particular. So your question is, if Christ returned today, would you be ready? Right after that, I'm going to add, how do you know? I have asked my children when they were younger, just as my parents asked me a separate question, how do you know you're saved? The same thing here. You have to know why you are who you are. If you don't know why, then it'll be others out here to try to tell you who you are.
Come on.
Even though someone else has told you and trained you and taught you, but you didn't know why. You never were able to actually practically apply it, to have it downloaded into your spirit, to when someone asks you, you are ready to give an answer. So, yes, I am ready. So your question was, would you be ready? Yes.
Amen.
I am ready.
Amen.
How do I know I'm ready?
Yeah.
The word of God. Two passages of scripture that I have engaged in initially and that I am actively engaged in daily. We must choose every day to serve Christ with our thoughts, our words, and our actions. So let's look at the first passage, Romans 10, 9. So you remember what I said, that I engaged in initially and that I actively engage in daily. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Remember, we are not saved yet.
Yes.
It's like a reservation, but we are covered and sealed with the blood, that Holy Spirit of promise. And I'll read that in a minute. I have done that. I have done this here. I have believed. I have confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. So I am saved. I was compelled lovingly by Holy Spirit to make that choice when I was very young. And I live that eternal choice every day. Second passage, Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory.
Come on.
Because of my trust and belief in Jesus Christ, I was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise on that glorious day.
Amen.
Being sealed, I have an inheritance of redemption by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. I am ready
for
the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to add a little bit to this too before we go to Brother Arthur. I want all of those that are in my space, and I pray this, I talk to Holy Spirit about this daily, continue to use me to bring in those that are a part of your kingdom. Remember, we don't know who's a part of the kingdom of God. When scripture says that he wants all men to be saved, well, that's true, but we know that all men won't, and scripture says that too. But the point is that we don't know who those are and who those that will not be. So instead of you trying to judge that and figure out, no, they're not going to be saved. I'm not going to go to them because they're, you know, they don't come through a certain way, or they don't look a certain way. Or those that have this world's good. And you think, oh, they already have the things that, that God has and things of God.
No,
you go where you've been sent. And when
that's
he tells you to go, you go. You don't question, you engage. That's stewardship. That's obedience. That's the fear of the Lord. But instead, we want to judge it in our way. And then there are people that pass by that were in your space that die and go to hell because you did not do what the Holy Spirit told you to do. Don't think that you are an island unto yourself, TSV audience. It's very, very important that you continue to avail yourself to Holy Spirit in these last days to win souls. So not just you being ready, but those he's connected you to, and that those that he brings across your path, he can use you to bring them into the kingdom. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much for sharing with our listeners. your readiness for the return of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brother Otto, if Christ returned today, would you be ready?
Would I be ready? Yes, sir, I would be ready.
Amen.
And the reason I know that I'm ready is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ.
Come on.
And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me.
Amen.
The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on. Come on.
I mean, it's right
Mic
there.
Drop.
You know, and I live my life every day. I like to say I live a repentant lifestyle.
Mm.
That's how I live my life. And I try my best to be an encouragement and a light and salt for everyone around me, regardless of who they are. It doesn't matter. I do the best that I can with whatever God has given me to bring hope, inspiration, encouragement, and love, you know, all people. Now, it doesn't mean that it always works out that way.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I know that the Lord has entrusted me with a lot of different things. And so my responsibility is, as scripture says, to he that is given, much is required.
Yes.
And I just feel that, and not just feel, but I think and I know. At the end of the day, I am ready, and I would hope that when that time comes, that I can make the Hall of Fame in heaven.
Amen.
You know, that's what I'm trying to do.
Amen.
So I hope that answers your question. But Galatians 2:20 is key.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you for that, brother. And that was the verse I was going to. In answering this question, yes, I am ready. Like my brothers have shared, first with Brother Wally, I have confessed with my mouth, and I continue to believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord, period. There is nothing else to say. That is it.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord. There is no,
yes.
He is not a teacher that was living an ancient teacher or prophet. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will return soon. Now, TSV listeners, if you are a believer in Christ, you should be ready. But Brother Wally shared on something which I feel is very important. When he asked that question, how do you know? Again, in Brother Otto's response to this question, he also highlighted Galatians 2:20, which is about identity, which is about us knowing who we are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll read that again. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So that should let you know, and that should be your personal confession. Now, Brother Otto also shared on something too, which I want to highlight for a few minutes. And Brother Wally talked about this. Now that we are ready, what are we supposed to be doing every day as we wait, right? Because it shouldn't be something that is done once. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm ready and that's good. We stay ready every day. Brother Otto talked about an unrepentant life. It's a constant event. What we just read in Galatians 2:20, it's a constant confession. You know, it's like you're expecting somebody to come meet you at the house or to come pick you up, and they are not here yet. So you just continue. You don't stop like, oh, they should have been here at 5. Now it's 6 p.m. So, well, no. It's constantly continuing to confess that, continuing to bring people within your sphere of influence, continuing to bring them into the kingdom, a constant work that we need to do. The only way we can make sure we are ready for the Lord's return is to stay ready every single day. Because, I mean, common sense, you teach us that that is the only proper perspective, because we don't know, like Brother Wally has shared, when he would return. Anything else you all want to add, brothers?
Just the last part of this that we've been talking about, soul winning. This is very important. I mean, and again, we're checking boxes of other things you brought up, you know, prophecies and things of that nature that some of these men that are out here talking and potentially leading astray and handling the word of God deceitfully. And, you know, obviously we're not the judge of that just in terms of their overall salvation, but we are to judge in terms of rightly dividing the word of truth. And the judgment there is not in condemnation. It's whether it's truth or not. And so as we continue to do this, we can't forget about those that may not be where we are in terms of the understanding of scripture. We have to look out for the least of these. If we are not focused on that, then we're missing what our Lord and Savior did while he was here on the earth. And it doesn't mean that we're at one level and someone's at another level. There just may mean that there's a maturity that's there that we've been able to experience. And then we can share that in humility with those that he shared and connected us with. It's so important for that too, because we're not walking in love in these places. And so it shuts people off, and then they don't want to receive. And then now their eternal soul is at stake because you're walking in pride. With the knowledge that's been given to you by God.
Come on.
These are places that we have to continue to stay vigilant in. This is part of our preparation. This is part of being ready. And when we do that, we're giving ourselves, again, making ourselves available to Holy Spirit to use us in these last days. So as you close out this episode in our season, I just want to leave that with our listeners. Be prepared. Stay in the attitude of expectancy and faith. Amen. Trusting God. Allow Holy Spirit to use you in these last days to win souls.
Amen. Amen. Brother Otto?
Amen. It's been an amazing journey, that's for sure.
Well, TSV listeners, the return of Jesus Christ is imminent. If you are not a believer, as we close today, it is important that we give you this opportunity, that you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you into confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation, we have a salvation prayer that you can use. Because the question is, are you ready to meet him if he came today? And do you actually look forward to his coming if you are a believer? Are you living in such a way right now that he won't be ashamed if he came? If you are already a believer, what are you doing in preparation? Because my brothers, as we've been sharing, I just want to drop this nugget. It's not the information we know about Jesus that delivers us. It is Christ himself who delivers us. So this is not the time for us to walk in pride, as Brother Wally just shared. It is not the time for us to have our chest all out because, we have been marked for redemption and we are the saved ones. And then we allow people to just perish, and we allow these divisions that shouldn't come up. We give room to the enemy of our souls to come in through these different divisions and take us away from the focus, the work that he called us to do. Go into the world and preach all the gospel. My brother has shared, it's great that we wrap up episode 24 and season 1 of TSV with this. Asking you more than anything else, if you listen to all the 23 episodes, and don't let this minute pass you by. If you are an unbeliever, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that is what we mean by being an unbeliever. If you have not confessed with your mouth that he is Lord, we invite you again, thespokenverity.fm/salvation. It will be the best decision you've ever made. And then you can now take the next step, telling everyone you know where you found bread, telling everyone you know about the redeeming love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Wally, what should our listeners expect for episode 25 as we open up season 2?
Thank you, brother. We will open season 2 of the Spoken Verity podcast with the second installment of our 3-part series titled The Divisions Among Us, The Color of Our Skin, Doctrine, and Denominations. The focus for episode 25 will be on the current doctrine division in the church. As we did with episode 22's focus, The Color of Our Skin, our aim will be in continuing our facilitation of the healing process within the body of Christ concerning these divisions, while also continuing the conversation as to why these current divisions must not exist in a church that is without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. We look forward to you joining us as we start season 2 with episode 25.
Amen. Amen. Yes. That is also, as we prepare for his return, the church should be without wrinkle or blemish. I love the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us close episode 24 and season 1 of TSV in prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you again for using us to bring your word to life. Spirit of the living God, we just pray for any unbeliever listening that you have been tugging at their heart. You would just take this opportunity to lead them to salvation. Not us. We have no power to do such. It is you. Just commit them into your hands, Lord, that you would use something that we have said, something that they have heard listening to this episode. Now, we just thank you for this entire venture. Thank you for 24 episodes of speaking for the truth, the verity, the eternal verity of your word. Even as we now prepare for the second season, we just ask that you continue to refresh us so that we stay in your truth. Keep us in your truth. And we pray for our listeners, Lord. We pray that you continue to lead them on the right path towards you. We pray for the body of Christ. We commit believers all over the world into your hands, Jesus. Even as we prepare and get ready for your return, you promised that you would pour out a fresh anointing of your Spirit. So we ask, Lord, that you just do that. And by faith, we thank you that you have done it, and we receive it also by faith. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you for listening to TSV this week. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use to do so. Please know that we love and care about you. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to do so today. Please go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of the Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God. In love, all the blessings.